This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Coal miners have made their voices heard as their industry convulses. Where are the voices of retail workers facing job losses in the move to shopping online? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's some new data about what's happening to retail stores, the kind built from cinder blocks and cement instead of digital bits and bytes. The fresh calculation predicts as many as 12,000 more physical store locations will close this year. This from a study by an interested party, the commercial real estate company Cushman & Wakefield. That's on top of about 9,000 store closings last year. Marketplace's Erica Barris tells us how mall operators are responding.
When Starbucks said it was closing nearly 400 of its Teavana stores, Simon Property Group, one of the biggest mall operators in the country, sued them and won. A judge ordered Starbucks to keep running the Teavana stores at malls.
Starbucks is in a unique situation because they're highly profitable.
That's Garrick Brown with Cushman & Wakefield. He says the Teavana ruling was meant to send a message to retailers trying to squeeze out of leases. But Starbucks is profitable, whereas many businesses aren't.
If you had underperforming stores, this wouldn't hold in court.
Brown says another 12,000 stores will close this year. Larry Perkins with advisory firm Sierra Constellation Partners says malls are shifting excess store space into fitness centers and offices. But retail is still viable. Too much space was devoted to it.
I think things got a little bit crazy for a while, and there got to be so much of a footprint between real estate development and the saturation of stores.
Discount retailers like Dollar Tree and TJ Maxx plan on opening hundreds of stores this year. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
As our series continues this week on what this huge shift is doing to retail workers, let's get a union perspective this morning. These store closings reach into communities and livelihoods across America, but this has yet, by and large, to become a front and center public policy issue. Stuart Applebaum is president of the UFCW, the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union based here in New York.
I think people have misconceptions about who retail workers are. I can't tell you how many elected officials think that retail workers are just people looking for extra pocket money, or that they're all young people or they're students. Most retail workers are there because they need to support their families. We have to understand that retail workers deserve to be treated with dignity and respect.
I mean, do you foresee a future where retail workers have banded together nationally to push their issues in the way that, say, coal workers have pushed their issues in coal mining country?
We're seeing it right now. When you speak to a retail worker, the first thing they tell you about is not wages, it's schedules. They want more hours to work. And we see different jurisdictions throughout this country passing legislation impacting the lives of retail workers, and that's going to continue, and that's going to grow.
The e-commerce companies that are doing all this hiring are generally pretty resistant to having the union, and they're working pretty hard to keep you out. You've noticed this, right?
Many companies have worked to keep us out over the years. We're not going away. I'm more optimistic today than I have ever been. People understand that they need a union, and it's being reflected in what's happening in our organizing campaigns.
So you've never been more optimistic, but the numbers of retail jobs is dwindling. So it's hard to stay optimistic, isn't it?
Not at all. I am enthused whenever I meet retail workers who talk about the need to come together collectively and have a collective voice. One thing we were able to do in recent negotiations with Bloomingdale's was to address the needs of workers who earned their living through commission sales. With e-commerce, people come in, they look around, they see what they like, they spend time with the salesperson, then they go home and order the item online. We're addressing issues like that. We're addressing that in the workplace, and we're making a difference there.
Stuart Applebaum, president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Time to do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.2% right now. Especially notable, the technology stocks in the NASDAQ composite. That index rose 103 points yesterday, 1.5%, putting the NASDAQ above 7,000 for the first time. The NASDAQ is up more than 30% in the last year. Here's Marketplace's Mauro Segarra.
The NASDAQ has been on a tear lately. It's gone up by 16%, or about 1,000 points, since April 2017. And really, a handful of big tech companies drove that jump. The stock market research firm Barrini Associates told the Wall Street Journal that two-thirds of the increase came from Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, and Facebook. And the context here is that when interest rates are low, as they have been for a while, investors often look to tech firms as growth companies. Big jumps like this can make investors wonder whether stocks are overvalued, but we have seen a booming market over the past year. Also, corporate profits are high, and there's optimism about the new tax law.
Marielle, thank you. One benchmark for interest rates. The yield on the government's 10-year note is down this morning near 2.45%. Today, we'll get some insight into official thinking on interest rates when the Federal Reserve releases the minutes of its last meeting on the economy and the cost of borrowing. Crude oil above $60 a barrel this morning, up about 0.5% at the moment. And the alcoholic drinks giant Diageo has stopped all of its ads on the disappearing message service Snapchat because some of the booze marketing may have reached underage eyes. British regulators took issue with Diageo's Snapchat campaign for Captain Morgan Rum. There was a thing where Snapchat users could alter pictures of their faces to look like the captain. Diageo has said it took all reasonable steps to keep this from the kids. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.